Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
And now a man who believes in the old football wisdom. None of this fake this, fake that, rip your opponent's necklace off. You got to be coachable.
Hey, Steve-o.
Bob and Brian. Here's the funny footnote to an otherwise embarrassing spectacle that the league has finally figured out. Duh. We need to get our arms around this. Two-game suspension each for Aqib Talib and Michael Crabtree, which is a pretty significant suspension in terms of other past suspensions for mere fights on the football field, but it's long overdue and some would say perhaps even too light. The funny thing about it is Michael Crabtree, according to Adam Schefter, anticipated Talib going after his necklace again this time.
Because he did in the playoffs. Was it playoffs last year? January 1st, last regular season game?
Yeah, and he had anticipated Talib going after it, and he had taped it to his chest.
Timeout.
And yet,
oh, that's one.
Timeout.
Right there.
Question. Is Aqib Talib old school, where he thinks dudes shouldn't be wearing necklaces on the field?
Or is he punk school?
He's punk school. He's a dude who shot himself, a year or so ago, Steve?
He did.
Yeah,
shot himself at a Dallas park.
Yeah.
And luckily, no one was there to say anything like, you know, somehow he got off of that case. Aqib Talib also, I guess, well, let me look this up. Go ahead. Keep talking. Your question is, Brian.
I just wondered if Aqib Talib was defending old school football.
Like, get that jewelry out of here.
This fancy boy jewelry stuff.
No.
You know, if he thought.
No, he just liked to.
No, it's just like Crips
like,
and Bloods.
Like Norm Van Brocklin, you know.
No,
there's nothing.
Oh,
old...
here it is right here.
What do you got?
Bring the sound up.
Oh, okay. You want a little sound?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, Wages.
There you
Where'd
go.
Where'd you go on the pitch?
Harmon Wages.
Wages, what's the matter with you? You go back in the game till I tell you to.
That's all it is.
Understand, Harmon? You're in the big leagues now. You understand? Well, let's start growing up. You line up where you're supposed to line up. None of that hairy high school fake this. Do what we're told.
Yes,
you can't play football in the NFL, you can't play football for me.
Oh, he doesn't say coachable.
You know, Hold on a second. That I had not heard the pre-roll to my bite in a long time. Is that the video?
It looks...
Are you watching the video online, too? Because I wanted to post that video just so people know what I'm talking about.
The 100 NFL's top 100 players of all time, number 83, Norm Van Brocklin.
Okay, and that's a video of him lecturing Harmon
Wages. Like, it's a couple of different cuts here.
And what a great name, Harmon Wages.
Brian, is it a video?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So no further questions.
Roll it again. I want to hear the beginning. I like the preamble.
Send me the link via the Skype window because I want to post that to Zabe.com. So
oh, and it's right after Sonny Jurgensen is talking about him, too. You'll love this.
As a head coach.
Hey, Wages. Where'd you go on the pitch?
To the wrong.
Wages, what's the matter with you? You go back in the game till I tell you to.
That's all it is.
Understand, Harmon? You're in the big leagues now.
Big leagues.
You understand?
Yes,
sir. Well, let's start growing up. You line up where you're supposed to line up. None of that hairy high school fake this. Do what we're told.
Yes, sir.
You can't play football in the NFL. You can't play football for me.
Boy, that is the KTEL.
Hold on a second.
That's the KTEL version right there. That one is really shortened up.
Listen to that versus what I've got.
Okay. We want you to play as you're instructed to play. You understand?
Yes, sir.
You line up where you're supposed to line up. None of that hairy high school fake this, fake do what we're told.
Yes,
you can't play football in the NFL if you're not coachable.
Now, I'm wondering if I got mine from a different episode of Norm Van Brocklin lecturing a different player, and I'm wondering if he used the hairy high school line over and over and over again to the point at which his players would roll their eyes, like, oh, I'm getting the Harry High School speech.
Yet. You watch your play as you're instructed to play. Understand?
Yes, sir.
You line up where you're supposed to line up. None of that Harry High School fake this, fake so did do the, what we're told.
So the
you can't play football in the NFL if you're not coachable.
In your bite, he says, you can't play for me if you're not coachable.
Yeah, do he what doesn't you're say coachable. He doesn't do. Say coachable. Yeah, doesn't
you
say
play yours again.
Play for me. Yeah,
here, play yours again,
all right,
Brian.
Here you all right. Go.
Ah, wages. What's the matter with you? You go back in the game till I tell you to.
What's all this?
Understand, Harmon? Yes. You're in the big leagues now.
That's not enough.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
Well, let's start growing up. You line up where you're supposed to line up.
Yeah,
none of that
a
Harry High School fake
video
this.
Shot.
Do what we're told.
Yes,
you can't
right.
play football in the NFL. You can't play football for me.
See, you can't play football for me.
But the end of that is cut to a different video.
Okay.
A different shot, a different camera.
Anyway.
All right. So
the point being, if you were to plot on a linear graph the continuum between Norm Van Brocklin's patriarchal style of coaching in the 1950s, 60s.
If it was the Falcons, 60s. It's got to be the 60s at least.
If you were to plot his style of coaching and the type of yes, sir, no, sir from the players on a line between then and now, it's almost comical how far we've drifted from what the league used to be.
Right, because the coach will come out and defend his player. I mean, they didn't really defend him. I heard him say it was selfish, you know, what they did.
Jack Del Rio said that as of Monday afternoon, he had yet to even speak to Michael Crabtree. How about that?
How is that even possible? How do you consider yourself a coach if that hasn't even been addressed?
Because Crabtree was kicked out of the game, although he was seen up in the owner's suite.
Yeah, he was seen in the box. They had a shot of him on TV sitting in the owner's booth.
He
owner's
should
box,
have been sent home on a bus in shame, and he should have been fearing for his job after that. This is a big divisional game. We're still in the hunt because the Chiefs are imploding. And you get kicked out on the fourth play of the game by acting like a complete idiot? Throwing punches without a helmet 40 yards downfield into the end zone, crashing into photographers on the sideline? What's wrong with you, Crabtree?
Yeah, that should have been the question in the locker room, not in a private, you know, like, hey, come into my office. That should have been something that happened in the locker room. Like, he comes in after the game and says, where's Crabtree? Where is he?
Right. The coach, especially a tough guy like Del Rio, who's still relatively young and could probably scrap pretty good himself with some players, I would have liked to have seen a fight between Del Rio and Crabtree. That Crabtree would say, well, I didn't really win the fight against Aqib Talib, and now I'm going to have to fight my coach because he is super pissed.
I have to fight my coach. Wow.
Steve is against fighting on the field between players.
Well,
ironically, wishes a fight between a coach and a player.
In the locker room, right, yeah.
Del Rio tweeted Monday night, hard to understand the reasoning for this suspension based on the most recent ruling with altercation. See wide receiver Cincinnati and DB Jax equals 0 game suspended. So not only has he not spoken to Crabtree, not only was he okay with him popping up in the luxury suite after he got kicked out of the game on the fourth play, but he was actively saying, oh, what? Oh, this is unfair, man. 2 games? Come on.
Well, Jack Del Rio has proven to me, and I thought this all along, he's an idiot. I can't
just
believe
a meathead.
I can't believe
Garden
he's gotten
variety
two head,
football meathead,
I can't
right?
believe he's gotten 2 head coaching jobs because he was a bit of a thug as a player, too. He was big on late hits and cheap shots, if I remember correctly. Kansas City, and where else did he play? Do you play in Oakland?
I don't remember.
Who's calling?
Doesn't matter.
Unknown name, Falls Church, Virginia. Probably a telemarketer using a dummy number, for which I don't know if you guys get a lot of those calls in your cell phones these days, but
not,
I do.
Not on the cell phone so much. At home a lot.
Okay. It's just madness, and the NFL is finally figuring out slowly these things cannot go unchecked.
Well, their numbers are slipping.
Yes. I saw a tweet
and this
over the
doesn't
weekend.
Help.
Every time slot, every window, as they call them, every broadcast window this past weekend, was down except for your game Sunday night, which was up 3%. And that takes two of the most nationalized, iconic franchises, the Packers and the Steelers, playing a tight back-and-forth 28-28 game with scintillating catches and a last-second field goal. You're up 3%. Every other window was down. CBS National down 8%. Fox National down 14% from year to year. Like, they took this weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, 1 year ago. What's your number? Down. Yeah. With the exception of one window, which was barely even.
So you've got that going on, and you have Chris Collinsworth up in the booth towing the company line by saying, I love these end zone celebrations. I just think they're joyful.
Let's put the
merchandise sales are also falling, by the way.
Are they really?
They're down as much as 20%.
Okay.
Yikes. This is
not good.
Look like NASCAR a little bit, isn't it?
Right. But this is what happens when you just are afraid of the players and afraid of being called horrible names and afraid of being called a racist. Bob McNair should have never groveled in front of his players after he allegedly made the comments in front of owners that we can't have the inmates running the asylum, the inmates running the prison. He should have never done that because it makes the owners more afraid of saying, we're not going to tolerate fighting on the field. This is ridiculous. You know, our game is violent enough as it is, but this is absurd. People see this and go, oh, okay, I guess that's what this league is all about right now. And people have been kicked out of games before, and it's happened my entire lifetime. But I would be willing to bet that I don't remember a single – I can't remember a fight like the one we saw between the Raiders and the Broncos and Tlaib and Crabtree. I don't remember a single one of those during an entire season of NFL football in 1986.
Literally like chasing each other around the field. Like that fight went on for 5 minutes. What about the guy who knocked down the official?
Yeah.
An official got hammered on that. Where is he? Is he getting suspended?
Do you remember mid-1980s ever seeing a fight that looked like that? Can you think of one? Does there exist one on YouTube? I just don't. It's like the players...
Well, first of all, Crabtree's shirt tail is hanging out, and that's a fine right there.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Why does the NFL allow jewelry?
Yeah. What's that doing
they
out there?
They check your sock level before the game. You're telling me you can't have the same guy just go up and down and look for, you know, chains to come out and go, yeah, you know what? Get rid of that.
And as much as I don't think anybody is smarter than anybody else in this fight, I have to give the edge to Tlaib as being smarter because he kept his helmet on. Crabtree had his helmet off.
Right. Well, it cuts both ways, too, because the blue-haired old lady who watches some NFL football in Iowa, the mythical blue-haired old lady, she sees this and gets instantly turned off, like, look at those thugs. The hardcore football fan like you and me get turned off because we say to ourselves, wait a minute, I thought the Raiders were really all in for winning this game to get back on track to get in the race for the AFC West before the season expires, and they've got a wide receiver who cares more about a personal grudge from a piece of jewelry a year ago? Really? Well, why do I care? Why am I wasting my Sunday watching this? If they don't really care, then I don't care.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am, I guess. That's what I thought.
Like, it's not just a case of we're no fainting daisies. We're no blue-haired old ladies, you know, that are like, oh, look at these guys. We know the NFL has 85% upstanding, intelligent, tax-paying, child-rearing, wonderful people. And it's got about 15% of probably criminals and illiterates and just social misfits that love to hit each other. But most of the league, 85%.
Those are the same numbers you get in broadcasting, Steve.
Maybe more, depending if it's management or not.
Talk to Carton.
Yeah. The league is 85% great people, and so we're not hung up on the fact that there's a few dummies out there. But it's incredibly demoralizing if you invest your emotion and time and money into, all right, come on, Raiders. Got to win this game today. Got to win this game. And you see this, and then it's like your the illusion of what you've been rooting for just disintegrates in front of your eyes.
I've watched two Raider games.
You realize, Brian, they don't care like you care, and they'll never care like you care.
Well,
so your caring is a fool's errand.
That's what the problem with the 70s, 80s Packers were, especially late 80s. They were just thugs. They were getting arrested. There were problems all the time.
But
embarrassing to root for them.
All right, let me try to sharpen this pencil even sharper. I don't care if they're thugs necessarily, the 15% that are not good, upstanding citizens. I just want them being thugs in vicious pursuit of a win every single week. Do you see my point there? It's not so much that I don't want them all to be choir boys. You definitely need a bit of a prison element on any good football team. But what kills me is when that is misdirected into personal feuds about jewelry and not being a thug or a psycho when it comes to, I'm going to decapitate Tlaib.
Well, there's plenty of opportunities to hit someone really hard in a football game and take out all your aggressions.
Yes. So, I've seen
two games this year, Steve, with the Raiders. This game on Sunday where I went, oh, my God.
And the Marshawn Lynch one.
And the Marshawn Lynch one where he went up and sat in the stands.
Yeah.
The Raiders are out of control. Jack Del Rio has no control over this team.
Don't care.
He should be fired.
Maybe it's what he wants.
Because the Raiders are bad boys.
Yeah.
But losing your star wide receiver is not helpful, or one of your star wide receivers is not helpful on the fourth play of the game.
No.
You should be fired for even saying, I haven't even talked to Crabtree about this as of Monday afternoon.
Yeah, he left the bill. He left the stadium before I got done on the field, and then Monday the players don't come in unless they have to get treatment. So I'll see him tomorrow. And didn't seem concerned about. I need to talk to him. Didn't want to call him in on a Monday. Del Rio should have said, "Oh yeah, I called him in first thing Monday morning. We've spoken. He understands exactly my feelings on this, and I'm not going to talk about it further." That's what you would expect. That would be, at a minimum, what you would expect. And so it's just the constant waves that is eroding the public confidence in the NFL as something worthy of spending your time, effort, money, and give a crap about.
Should you be startled by this? I didn't see any of the early games on Sunday. I just had other things to do.
Okay.
And I barely watched the second round, the late games, and didn't really feel like I missed a whole lot because I saw this fight, and maybe with the red zone and the NBC package with all the highlights with Dan before the game, you get all caught up on everything. But I just didn't feel like I missed anything on Sunday by not watching all the football all day long.
Yeah.
Should the NFL be going, wait, what? Because I grew up watching football. Sundays are set up for football for me.
Why don't you watch as much as before?
I don't know. Maybe I don't love them as much as I used to. Maybe there's not enough Roger Staubachs around or Joe Montanas. Or
maybe you've had your fill. I think the NFL's it's stretched too thin.
Well, I get it Thursday. I get it Monday.
Yeah, that's the point. It's not. It needs to be better. It needs to be more tightly distributed. It shouldn't be cast to the wind every day of the week almost.
I have actually thought to myself, I am not watching football again tonight. You watch it 4 days a week otherwise.
Last night's Texans-Ravens thriller? I didn't. Steve, I had it on, but I didn't watch it. There's a difference between having it on and watching it. I was just not even paying any attention to it.
I watched Good Bones on HGTV. Watched some Rehab a House.
Fantastic.
Then I went to bed.
Nothing wrong with that either. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. So, and the NFL's got work to do. They've got to figure out how to stem the tide and maybe, don't overexpose their product so much. Of course, a lot of it is too. It's our fault in that we now expect every steak to be a filet mignon. The networks have conditioned us to expect that every Sunday night game, every Monday night game is supposed to be awesome. Oh, my God. I've been waiting all day for Sunday night. And are you ready for some football? No, I'm tired of football is what we're saying now by Monday. I'm not ready for some football. I'm like, can you just go away? We'll see you next Sunday.
Well, yeah, I'd be ready for some fantastic football, 2-3 days a week, three maybe.
Three? It's a lot of time.
But it's a lot of dreck.
Yeah.
Spread out over 4 days. I got to give credit to the Raiderettes in this fight.
Oh.
How so?
They maintained formation, even though the fight was. You watched on the sideline.
Kick, cheer, pum, they pum. Were, kick, cheer, pum, pum.
The fight was rolling right at them, and they just
calmly
backed up and stayed in formation in a straight line.
Look at that. That's the sort of discipline these players need.
Obviously, funny how that is.
The dancers have more discipline than the team.